This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online. We've had a short break here at Wales Online Towers, but we're back. Dominic Booth, Nathan Blake and Paul Abbandonato. We're going to discuss a huge range of topics, really, obviously starting with the Emiliano Sala tragedy, going on to talk about the Arsenal game and those tributes and the performance as well. And we're recording this on transfer deadline day, so that should present its own talking points for Nathan and Paul. Plus, at the end, there's a new twist to Blakey's predictions, whereby he may help you win £25,000. What a deal that would be on deadline day.
25 large.
I know. Unfortunately, we can't get our hands on any of it, Nathan. let's start, though, with rather serious and sad news, of course. We haven't done a podcast since the disappearance of Emiliano Sala, of course, on that light aircraft over from Nantes to Cardiff. An event, Nathan, that has shaken not just Cardiff City, but the wider football world.
Yeah, it's I've said previously, Dom, on different media outlets, I felt for his parents, really, as a father myself. My words were, you know, you can't give up hope. I believe in miracles. My youngest son, born 26 weeks, he's now almost 17. He's a walking miracle. You know, problems with eyes, should have been blind, and, you know, lucky miracles, call them what you want. But he's here today. So I take it from that standpoint, and I look and think, you know, as a parent, I see my brother pass away at 32 and what it done to my mother. So it's that part, you know, the sibling, the sister, the mum, the dad, and the wider family is the concern. But
human tragedy. Not
yeah, it's
football
just
tragedy.
It's tragic. It's tragic, and you know, I just my biggest hope now, if that, regardless of how he's just found, because I think it becomes too much to take if you don't find him.
Yeah.
Either way, I just think that is just too much to take for any parent. And that's the point I come from, because I've seen his mum, I've seen his dad, I've seen his sister, and, you know, football was secondary. It was just, I just thought, the human element of it, and that almost, you know, some have said to me it was totally avoidable. Some said, like, you know, it's a tragic accident. I don't know.
It doesn't matter in a way.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. It's tragic. It's tragic both ways, Dom. Nail on the head. You know, either or, it is a tragic situation. And I can only, like I said, reiterate, I can only feel for the parents, the club, the boys he was coming to, the boys he had left, and that harrowing which plays in the back of my mind every so often, that transcript of the phone conversation and what he was saying, almost predicting what was going to happen to him. Well, he did, in so many ways, predict what was going to happen, because I just thought to myself, you probably putting myself in his position then, when he's making that phone call and saying, send out the search party and what have you, I put myself in that situation. I probably would have been saying exactly the same thing, but not truly believing it's going to happen. And then for it to, you know, come to fruition is just, yeah, it's very difficult to take.
Something that's affected the club deeply as well on an emotional level.
I think it affects everybody. It hits you, you know, if you'd got children or not. You don't wish it on anybody, not even your worst enemy. But I think if we have children, you know, as an adult, when you're 20, 25, you think a certain way. Once you have children, you realise they become the most important thing in your life. And, you know, that for me is what I can get my head around, you know. It's really difficult.
And Paul, we heard Neil Warnock talk with real emotion before the Arsenal game about how difficult it had been for him to deal with the situation, having met Emiliano and his family, and having not wanting to speak during the first week after the events. What have you made of the club's handling of a terrible, unthinkable situation?
I think Ken Chu, who's the Cardiff chief executive, has come out with it with enormous credit. I think that he's handled it in a really tactful manner and sympathetic manner. My memory of it, these are horrible memories. The way Blake has just spoken there is incredibly emotional. My memory of last week, it's a horrible one as well. I actually went last Friday to the club in the afternoon, because Ken Chu and Bluebird staff were laying down their own flowers and lighting candles at the memorial garden that's been set up there by the statue. And afterwards, I was going in for a cup of coffee with Ken inside the club. Yeah, we were just walking back, and he suddenly said to me, can you just excuse me for one minute, please? Yeah, and he veered off to the left, and I suddenly noticed four people walking outside where the superstore is at the ground, so on a slightly higher level. And I suddenly realised it was the Salah family. And they walked across, they wanted to see the memorial, Blakey. Mm. Yeah, they walked across, including his sister Rabina.
Mm.
And she was no more than 10 yards away from me. And I don't think I will ever forget her just breaking down. It was a horrible thing to witness. Mm. It really was, and it really brought home not the magnitude of it, because it's obvious what the magnitude is. It just rammed it all home to you, and that this is way beyond football. Way beyond football. This is the human story. Mm. And of course, we all have focused on Salah. But of course, there's the pilot's family to think of here.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
You know, okay, he wasn't as young as Emiliano, but, you know, there's tragedy. Yeah, and I think given the circumstances, Don, to answer that question, I think the club have handled it really, really well up to this point.
Mm. And the fans too, in my opinion, and the wider footballing family, the way you've seen other fans pay their respects.
I think
the memorial, all those different shirts and scarves and various clubs all over the world. I think that is...
I mean, when I was there, I saw a Swansea one there, I saw a Forest Green Rovers scarf. The fact that we saw Cardiff fans went to Nantes' game, was it against St Etienne, I think I'm right in saying, on Tuesday night. And I just, you know, the way the tributes pre-Premier League matches have been carried off, I think the Cardiff fans have been magnificent in all this, as the football world, as you say. So I think that's a really good point that you make there, Don.
I think there's comfort to be taken from that, you know.
It's haunting. That's what it is to me, you know. It's and sometimes, you know, I've experienced. I mean, I don't want to speak of them, you know, in the past tense, but I've experienced many deaths in my family, you know, from immediate to, you know, extended. And sometimes you look for explanations, and they there's just no explanation. Sometimes there's no rhyme, no reason. And you think this is so undeserved, so unfair. But sometimes, you know, life, we've seen it with the Leicester City situation, sometimes life just throws these curveballs at you that don't make sense. And you think, you know, everyone asks the question, why? Why did that happen to those two gentlemen in that situation? And to be honest with you, Dom, you see tragedies all over the world. I've seen the Brazilian one the other day with the dam busting, and you think, you know, those people, you know, there's no reason for them to have, you know, have to suffer that, but
because they do. Because he you know, has been Cardiff City's £15 million record signing, a Premier League footballer. There's more to this to come, isn't there? In terms of, you know, what happens to the fee and all this, that, and the other. But that's not for now. But
there will be questions down the line.
There'll be investigations, won't there? Yeah. Well, because there's. I mean, so many people have asked me, does the fee get paid? Has it been paid? I really don't know. You know, that's for the clubs and insurances and things like that. That's way up and above.
But I know that a Bordeaux are entitled to 50% of the
fee.
A part of the fee, yeah. And a story had arisen in one of the papers, I think it was Monday morning, Dom, about Bordeaux demanding that fee, which they immediately distanced themselves from. Yeah. Credit to Bordeaux Football Club for immediately coming out and said, hang on a minute, we have not demanded anything. This is far too sensitive.
Yeah, you can't be talking money now.
Demands to be made or anything like that. It comes back to what I said, Blakey, that this is way beyond football. But because it is football, questions will need to be addressed further down the line.
Well, way beyond football, but it was fitting that Cardiff's next game after the tragedy was marked by tributes before the Arsenal game. The yellow placards held up by the fans, the daffodils on people's shirts, the scarves and the banners. Cardiff fans, like we've said it before, but I think before that Arsenal game, they came out, I think they come out with real credit for the way they responded and paid tribute.
You know, we've got to understand, Cardiff fans come with a reputation as well. You know, a reputation that goes before them often. As soon as we travel over the border, it tends to be. But, you know, I've always said, you know, I don't say they're among the best fans I played under, but they are, generally. They've done things, like I've mentioned on my podcast before, they've done things that, you know, other players when I played for teams couldn't believe that they were doing. So, you know, all credit to them. I think the way they've handled themselves and the situation, they've been a credit to the club and themselves, really.
And a good quote from Neil Warnock to sort of lead us in to talk about the Arsenal game, because he said football is important. It doesn't seem important after something like this, but it is important. And what would Emiliano have wanted? He would have wanted Cardiff to put in a performance. And after the game, he even admitted, with a smile actually, that shouting at the fourth official in the first 5 minutes of the game sort of felt like normality to him. And I thought that was quite nice, in a way that football can be a distraction from these things, and it does go on.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that. And again, I can speak from experience. I was at Wolves when my brother passed away, and he was 32. And it's like a sanctuary. And training, you're kind of in a bit of a daze. Come to the game, and your mood, you can't lift yourself. And when you go out in front of 30,000, as the game goes, you start to almost come to life. The automatic triggers in your brain start to fire. The normality, take the touch, run, move, pass, score, blah, blah, blah. And emotion, it takes over, it overrides it. But then, you know, after the game, you walk off, you sit down, and the emotions come back down, and then you realise, you know, what's happened, where you are, what's happened. So I understand that completely, yeah.
And the pattern of the game was interesting. Cardiff did almost take 5 minutes to maybe come to terms with the occasion, to get back to normality, like you say. Mm. But then they put in a really, really spirited performance, Blakey.
Yeah, the performance was fantastic. The irony was so sad, and he did a goal scorer. It's just like you couldn't write it. But I felt the performance was not great. I felt Arsenal were a bit, like in past teams I've said earlier in the season, teams are kind of turning up at 70%, knowing they're going to beat Cardiff. Even if Cardiff check everything at them, they still feel they have this arrogance to feel, well,
it nearly didn't happen for Arsenal, and in fairness. They could have easily been punished in the first half.
But it did happen. That's the sad thing, is that, you know, as well as Cardiff played, and the chances they created, what they needed to do was take one or two of those chances. I referred to the game last night, Bournemouth and Chelsea. You know, there's an arrogance to feel like, oh, well, you know, we'll get away with it in the end if we're Chelsea. But last night you've seen what can happen to you. You can really get a good hammer in, which is what happened.
And Bournemouth took their chances.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I felt like Cardiff, a few missed chances, and then typically penalty first, wasn't it?
Yeah, penalty that I think Warnock had warned Mango about diving in. I think Lacazette could have had a couple of penalties in the first half which weren't given.
I don't think I could just point the finger at Bruno on that penalty, though. I think there was a few things prior leading up to that which I would also point the finger at and say avoidable.
Even Bamba stormed out a little
bit,
didn't he?
Absolutely, avoidable. And another thing I watched, and I'll keep going on about it, is this trailing people all over the pitch, this man-for-man thing.
Well, it took Arsenal a bit longer than teams sometimes do to work that out, but they did, like you always say, the rotation thing, they did work it out eventually, didn't they?
And then that's what did for Cardiff.
Yeah. Paul, football-wise, positives from that Arsenal game to take forward?
I know you and others are talking it up, but I feel Tuesday night was negative for Cardiff. Of course, the performance in the circumstances was gallant, heroic in many ways. But, you know, you saw Burnley almost beat Manchester United at Old Trafford. You saw Newcastle suddenly create a big gap on Cardiff by beating Manchester City.
Absolutely, yeah.
Fulham. Fulham came back from 2-0 down to beat Brighton. And football-wise, I'm now really worried about Cardiff.
Yeah, I'm standing.
I don't want to sound doom and gloom here.
No, but if we're talking football now, my worry is that with what's happened on top of it's going to take us a win or two to get going again.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? And my worry is, other teams are now getting going. Fulham, great win. They'll take a lot of spirit from that. Southampton, point. Newcastle, great win. So, what my fear is over the next 5 or 6 games is that we drop the second bottom and they start to 2 or 3 point gap between us and say Fulham. Come the end of February, then we're in big trouble.
See the performance at Newcastle was woeful in losing 3-0, but in the back of your mind, I thought, well, Salah's coming in, Arsenal can be written off, but then Salah will kick in as the centre forward and Bournemouth will be beaten and so on. I don't know,
I'm just going to say at this juncture that I thought Umar Nias was very, very good against Arsenal. And I thought Bobby Reid playing off him was very, very good. Neither of them scored a goal.
Still, but Reid had some good chances as well.
Yeah, they didn't score a goal, Blakey, but their performance level compared to what's been happening in that centre-forward position for Cardiff before that, where Patterson looked like he'd sort of run himself dry, Zaha's non-existent.
Mm.
Those two at least showed some semblance of, right, Nias holds the ball up, Reid runs off him, they interchange with each other. I know it's early days and obviously the Salah
is that going to happen next week though? Because again, we're in a bit of a catch 22, Dom, in the sense that I don't think Neil's picked the same 11. Right, Reid has come in and out, he probably dropped when he played his best game, hasn't been seen for a while, done decently, but good performance isn't resolving the issue. Good performance plus goals equals,
but good performance over, you know, you may not get your dues every few
games.
I
totally accept it, Dom. But that's what Cardiff haven't got on their side. They haven't got 5 or 6 games down the line to wait.
No.
And that's the Premier League, Dom. That's what Reid is finding the difference, is you get a chance at Premier League level. If you get 2, you have to take 1. Right? If you get 1, you have to take it, almost. It went to that. You've got to be a 1-in-2 striker. 1-in-3 worst case scenario in Premier League. You can't get opportunities. What between them, what do they have? 3, maybe 4? You say good opportunities?
Yeah, probably four.
4 good opportunities. Well, you know, four opportunities.
One has to go in, doesn't it? Yeah.
2 has to go in. But
well, Cardiff should have taken the lead.
Right.
Shouldn't they? Yeah.
Look, I mean, I love the enthusiasm, you know, about the performance and everything, Don, but results-wise, this week has not been a good week for Cardiff. And in fact, Cardiff have not had a good result since, there was the Leicester game. But, it's standing out as a bit of a one-off, isn't it, unfortunately?
I thought the Leicester performance and the Arsenal performance weren't actually too dissimilar, Paul.
No, but the fact is they lost to Arsenal. What Cardiff need now, we're speaking mid-afternoon on transfer deadline day, so forgive me if this is outdated by the time some of you are listening to this podcast, but for me, what Cardiff desperately need now is a really good last few hours in this transfer window to give everybody a fresh fillip and a win against Bournemouth. And that can then reinvigorate confidence, if you like, but I do feel that's needed at the moment.
Absolutely,
do. And I don't,
Bournemouth's movement and counter-attacking is going to be a problem for Cardiff. Because they, if you remember the first game of the season, they rotated and caused Cardiff a problem.
Cardiff weren't at the races at all,
were they? They weren't, but I would say Bournemouth, after coming off the back of a bit of a bad run, they seem to be back to their best and, performance-wise, before Chelsea, they played very well. I look at the Chelsea game and go, okay, that's that not the heebie-jeebies, but I'm thinking, right, we're going to have to go some to beat them.
Blakey, what was helping Cardiff before was, despite losing games and sometimes playing poorly, there was always the fillip of the fact that they weren't in the bottom three.
Yeah. Psychologically, that has a big effect.
Suddenly, being in the bottom three and seeing Newcastle pull away so much all of a sudden.
Who've been close to you all season.
That had an effect on me on Tuesday. Mm. The fact that Fulham came from two down and suddenly, instead of being five behind Cardiff, they're two behind Cardiff. Mm-hmm. That worries. You see, these things, at least Huddersfield damn well lost.
Yeah.
But
it's not like we thought at any stage that Cardiff would pull away from the relegation zone and would be
I think
safe.
We had the opportunity
but being out of it, Dom, psychologically made such a difference for me, and if it's doing it for me, I think it must do it for others as well. And the fact they're in there now, look, I know Cardiff have been punching above their weight being out of the relegation zone.
That's what I'm saying,
but the fact they were out of there, gave, well, okay, can lose this game but win that one, but the fillips are needed of the transfer window and the win against Bournemouth, and that can reinvigorate again, I think. But those are needed, Blake.
I think we need something that can definitely turn a game. I definitely think you need that kind of player who can definitely turn a game. It might not necessarily be a striker. It might be an attacking midfielder or a winger or something like that, but they definitely need something. But someone who's not, you're not buying from League One, Championship, hoping, you kind of, that's what you're buying him for, because he's proven to do that. You've got to, it's too late to be getting across the continent now, but.
Can I ask an existential question almost about the January transfer window?
Mm.
Because teams have the summer transfer window, it's a lot longer, you can almost do your due process a bit better, you can do your scouting, you can get your plan sorted, this is what we want, these are our targets, we get them before the season starts.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah.
They then head into the season, this is any club, not just Cardiff, they then head into the season believing that the squad they have is good enough to achieve their objectives.
Well, for half a season they believe that, Dom. For half a season.
Well, no, because half the clubs in the Premier League aren't going to do any business in January.
I think certainly in Cardiff's case, and I'm sure this is the case with lots of other teams, they think, right, this will get us through to December, then we can go into the January transfer window, see where we need strengthening, and then kick off.
Yeah, because some players are going to be in form, some players are going to be out of form.
So I think due diligence is done. It's probably done through December.
I'm saying that there's a whiff of, especially here on January transfer deadline day, there's a whiff of the desperation.
Obviously,
Cardiff's circumstances are completely unique and understandable, and we should maybe talk about them having special dispensation or not having it from the Premier League. But Cardiff and any club should have believed, at least, that the squad there at the start of the season was good enough to stay up.
I know clubs ain't run as efficiently. As what you might think. I think there's a lot of talk of this is what's done, but from my experience and knowing who I know in the game and clubs I know in the game, rarely are they run as efficiently as what you might think.
I think some clubs must be.
Well, you look at one of the biggest clubs. You look at someone like Arsenal, right? Arsenal have been crying out for a central defender partnership, central midfielder, since you got rid of the likes of Vieira and, you know, the likes Adams
and Campbell, whoever,
and Campbell and people like that. When did they go? Sol's now manager, so is Patrick, so is Thierry.
10 years ago, at least.
Right. 10 years later, here we are, and they still got problems in the same position. So, you know...
But in that time, Blake, they've won FA Cups and finished in the top four of the league.
It's not about winning. It's a cup. You can win a cup and you can finish in the top four of the Premier League. You're Arsenal. You're still buying quality players.
What I'm saying is they probably achieved their objectives.
My point is, no, their objective is to win the league. That's your out and out objective.
Well, the six teams probably say that, so you can't always do that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm talking about one of those six.
Okay.
All right? And my point is, there's been a problem staring at them for, like you just said, 10 years. Now, everyone can see it, and you think, well, you got money. The objective was to get a new stadium, rebuild, blah, 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 and 2-3 years after you've been in there, you spend the money. You still have the same problem you had last season, season prior. So it's like, no, it's not as straightforward as you think. There's so much politics goes on involved.
Oh, I understand that completely.
I will only sign a player from this agent because this agent is my agent and this agent belongs to him. And I know this club and I'm happy with this person and this. But I wouldn't sign players from there because I've got a problem with that person, or I once signed a player from that country and he was no good. So there's so much goes on in the pot, so much in there. Now you think yourself, but at the end of the day, everybody knows the rules, and everyone, like Paul said, you do your due diligence, you get your squad together. You probably start your planning right about now for next season, right? You're looking at what you're going to keep, who you're going to get rid of, who you're going to try and move on and bring in, and blah 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 blah. And then window opens and off you go. But you're always then looking for January to say, right, I know.
My 18,
I might have, look at Spurs, I might have four injuries, majors.
Right? But they're not signing anyone, Blakey, because they believe in the process.
I'm not using them as the signing, I'm using them as an example of what you haven't got. So then January, normal circumstances, most clubs would say, bang, but they're different because they're in a position Arsenal were 5-6 years ago, new stadium, not got the money to spend. So it's going to have to be a bit of pain. And hopefully the game comes once the stadium is built and you're selling it out every week. So, you know.
A case in point of this, I guess, is Gary Medine 12 months ago. Cardiff felt like they needed him because of dips in form or, you know, a certain problem that needed to be eradicated. But it wasn't the right signing. The money was too much, really. And we all remember it as a bad bit of business. So that's what I'm talking about maybe avoiding doing. But...
Well, you've got to have the players. I think what we need to be careful of, and what Cardiff have been guilty of, and say under Neil's tenureship, is sometimes there have been quite a few players who haven't had no impact. Now that happens at every club throughout the season, signings, wherever you. But you've got to try and limit that. So your due diligence, you under every rock, turn every page. You get to know the person, you try and find out about him, his background, married, kids, family, mum, dad, you know, how he is. Is he aggressive? Is he good in training? Is he a drinker? Is he like going clubbing? Is he a family man? All this is all part and part of your due diligence. And that, still, he might go out and have a stinker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't cover every eventuality, but you can cover a lot.
I think Cardiff's problem with Medine wasn't necessarily the $6 million fee initially, which was way over the top, but the fact that Neil Warnock stuck with him for this season when he patently wasn't going to play a part.
Well, that's almost my point, in that they could have signed a striker in the summer.
So I think that the argument would have been, look, we'll carry on with what we got till Christmas and then we'll reassess and get a new striker in January. But for me, you know, with Medine, I'm not as convinced about Danny Ward as many fans are, personally. Zahor hasn't fired. They've had to play a right back up front. But if you actually go back to early days on the Blue Group, on this show, you know, I think we've all agreed or certainly said that, said and certainly agreed that Cardiff need a right back, Cardiff need a striker, and Cardiff need a midfielder.
Creative midfielder, yeah.
So there's nothing panicking about January that's telling us that, is it? Those fundamental areas that needed strengthening the team have been there pretty much, from
day one.
Cardiff signed two midfielders on deadline day in the summer, Harry Arter and Camarasa.
Brilliant. Both have been superb, but
they're both on loan to the end of the season.
But irrespective of that, they clearly have needed strengthening in that area, whether it's backup for them or whatever.
Well, let's talk about a few deadline day links. This is the fun part of the show.
I love the way he plays devil's advocate, Dom. He's so good at it. He just sits on the fence.
I disagree with myself.
I can see him balancing.
I can start an argument in a phone box.
That's what makes him such a brilliant host, Blake.
Yeah, I can imagine with a mirror having an argument with yourself. What are you looking at?
I'm going to chuck some names your way then, here, Blakey.
Okay.
For disclosure for the listener, obviously you may be listening to this on Thursday, or after Thursday, I should say. We're not saying any of these people are signing for Cardiff City. Okay. These are the people who have been linked in the media.
Yeah.
Not by us either. Important to say that. So Charlie Austin is one name that's done the rounds in the past couple of days. Experienced Premier League player, goal scorer. One for you?
Not the way we play, no.
Okay.
I think you need the way we play, and it's not going to change. I come to that conclusion. It's not going to change at all. You need a target man. Charlie's not a target man. He's a kind of a fox in the box. He's big enough, I wouldn't say that's his strength. And you need a target man who can also stretch a team in behind.
Run the channels.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say you'd be better. I would say Neil Warnock would take a Rondon before a Charlie.
You'd love to run on or a Mitrovic. You would have loved someone of that ilk. Vincent Janssen is another one, the Spurs striker, whose name has been
good
in the
player,
mixer.
Really good player. I've always liked him.
Frozen
good,
out,
strong,
Spurs.
Yeah, strong. And sometimes players go to clubs and have a stinker. What happens is they don't score for two or three games, and then that becomes 8 or 9, and then 10, and all of a sudden their confidence is shot, and they'll go, they get a move. We've seen it with players in this country. They go to the continent, Spain. You think, well, that's a good league. You're never gonna, and then bang, he's like top of the charts, or scored 15 goals in like 15 games. And it's not just the league; it's just like the environment. Whether you've made good friends at the club, whether you like where you're living, are your family settled, all these things come into play. So
you must have had that as a
I have. I have. When I first went to Bolton, I was kind of pining for Sheffield United, because I missed like friends and what have you. I was having to move house. I had a lovely place out in the Peak District, beautiful. And I was having to leave there and move across the Pennines.
Don't you be dissing Greater Manchester?
I had to, but I didn't want to, if you know what I mean, because I was so happy where I was living. But then I knew the new manager didn't want me, so you're forced out. So when I got to Bolton, I remember the first 5 or 6 games I played okay, but then I kind of hit a downward. I don't think I scored for about 15 games, something like that. But season was over, and I was thinking, I'm not happy here. I want to go back there, but they don't want me to come back there. I'm kind of in limbo. And then you just got to get your head around, listen, I'm here, I've got to do a job. Let's get my head on and get the job done. And I went away the summer, totally different attitude, trained like a madman in Jamaica, come back and hit the ground running, scored 2 against Wolves opening day, and we ended up breaking records and winning leagues. So,
well, deadline day must be such a state of flux for these players who are linked with moves, or who are, their agents are saying, go to this training ground, have a medical, go over there. You get reports of people doing U-turns on the motorway and all sorts of things. Yeah. People don't consider the personal aspect of this ridiculous thing, which is deadline day.
Yeah, they don't.
And poor souls with the massive signing on fees. poor souls, Cardiff fans.
You're not showing any sympathy for footballers or ex-footballers.
What about Bakuna, Blakey? He's been linked.
Yeah, Leandro Bakuna from Reading.
Sounds to me like a bit of a Greg Halford signing. Am I being really unfair there, Blakey?
I wouldn't say really unfair, no, Paul. I would say it doesn't make... Well, as a right-back...
Well, he plays right back or midfield,
doesn't
he?
Utility again, like Halford was.
Yeah, do you know what? I think we need an out-and-out full-back who can run, who defends well but can run forward. You know what I mean? That's what I think we need. I, you know, we've got a good right back who can defend well right now, and he's great in the tackle. But what's missing is that attacking sense. Do you know what I mean? So whoever plays right back for us, you know, one's a right back who likes to sit and tackle hard. Bruno will get forward a bit, but Pelts won't. You know what I mean? But neither of them are what you need to go and get more goals. Like, I don't even want to say it. I was just going to reference Emilio there, and I was just, you know what I mean? I was just going to go into.
Well, that is the sad
if
part.
If he was there and things
this,
like that,
yeah.
And you just can't. Yeah.
Cardiff have had to deal with, you know, this situation of having to press on with transfers in a short space of time after such a tragedy. Yeah. Personally, I think the Premier League should have made special grounds, but that's just my opinion.
I do as well, but it's interesting that the club accepting that rule
quite, they're
saying, look, they can't make a special rule for us. We understand that, and they're quite, again, it shows the dignity of the club in all
completely.
This
completely.
I think it's highly insensitive of the Premier League not to give Cardiff a special dispensation personally.
And in my day they didn't have windows, mate.
No,
had square wheels and you go any time of the year. So it was a little
TVs,
different.
TVs, cars, whatever?
Black and white TV.
Yeah. Penny farthings in between clubs.
You had to put money in the TV.
Let's go to Blakey's Utopia then. Blakey's Transfer Utopia. He's just spilled his drink and smashed his mug mid-podcast.
There's no one on.
Can we continue?
There's only a little bit of tea there. Yeah, it's natural, mate. It's all part and parcel of what we bring you.
It shows the boot room is very much a live thing.
Yeah.
Carry on.
We all right?
Yeah, crack on.
Carry on.
I'm going to leave.
Talking of cracking on.
There's a crack in that mug.
So you talk.
I was going to talk about your dream situation, Blakey, but you've just created a nightmare in this very studio.
I aim to please, Dominic. I aim to please.
You owe Wales Online at least £2. What would you do, Blakey? What would you see being an ideal transfer deadline day? This again, recording this at 2:30 on deadline day. People listening to this will then go, "Oh, Blakey was completely right," or "Blakey was completely wrong." But what would you like to see?
What now? On top of what signings?
On top of what's already been done.
Well, I don't think I think Nias may get goals, but you say he was in a better squad, better team at Everton and struggled to score goals there. So what you're hoping for is like a bit of a minor miracle that somehow he slots into Cardiff, the fans will take to him, he feels great, and then he goes on like over the next 15 games he goes and gets 8 goals, right? That's possible, more than possible.
Yep.
You're hoping for that. That would resolve your goals issue to an extent, but I still feel, you know, it was pretty evident you need a fullback, and that's not really been taken care of. You need a creative midfielder, and when I say creative, I don't mean someone who sits in the pocket and six and just sprays the ball about, because I think you've got someone like Gunnarsson who can sit and can spray the ball about, right? I'm talking about that player like a Camarasa, but probably more physical, more athletic. You know?
Right.
Like a Doucouré. I love that player, Watford. You know, I've loved him for
Going back to Diarmé here again, aren't we?
Diarmé,
yeah.
There you go, mate.
We're always going back to him.
And I mean, I said to sign him, like, he was so unhappy at Newcastle over a year ago, it would have been the ideal time. But, that good shout, Dom.
Cheers.
Yeah, just the old brain doesn't work as well anymore. Yeah. So you just reminded me, yeah.
Well, it remains to be seen. Transfer deadline day is always fun to cover if a little bit of a nightmare as well. But we'll keep you abreast on Wales Online. If you're listening to this on Friday or afterwards, then recap everything that's happened, and there'll be lots of analysis and talk of what has or has not happened. Right, Nathan, it's on to our new predictions game. Footy 5. This is something that there we go. This is something that you can enter as a listener. Details how to play will be on Wales Online. What you have to do is predict the exact results of these five Premier League games, and there'll be a set five each week.
Okay, so...
And if you get them all right, £25,000
is yours.
So
for the listeners, so they understand, set five by Media Wales, yeah?
These five have been set by our wider bosses.
Which are the five for this
our
week?
Our parent company, it okay. is. And you can win
£25,000.
Up to... Obviously, if there are a number of people who get it right, it needs to be
shared. Yeah.
You can win £25,000.
You can indeed.
These are the five games: Everton v Wolves, Chelsea v Huddersfield, Brighton v Watford, Burnley versus Southampton, Palace versus Fulham. Let's start with Everton versus Wolves.
So, do I get shared the £25,000 if I'm
no? Me, Media Wales employees are not allowed.
Man.
I'm not allowed to be
involved. Oh, man.
It's like you're signing on for
it. Okay.
And even though you're not technically an employee, you're one of us as you
yeah, are. Yeah, I was just hoping there.
You came to the Christmas party.
Okay, first off, give it to me.
Everton versus Wolves.
Ooh, good. I mean, that is a definite away win.
Really? What score?
2-0. Or 2-1. 2-0 I go for.
2-0 Wolves. Mm. Chelsea versus Huddersfield.
Oh, mate. Problems at my team. Chelsea versus Huddersfield. Yeah. Mate, Sarri needs this kind of game. But if they don't, I'm going to go Chelsea 1-0 late on. Because I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. There's problems in the camp.
Brighton versus Watford.
Brighton-Watford. I think both 2-2 draw.
Yeah, even draw. Burnley versus Southampton. Cardiff could do both.
I'm going to go with Southampton 2. Oh, they've just signed Crouch, haven't they, today, Burnley?
Yeah.
For Vokes is going to Stoke,
yeah.
I'm going to go with an away win. I'm going to go with Southampton. 1-0
Southampton, and the final one in the 45 this week is Palace versus Fulham.
Palace Fulham. Oh man, I'm gonna go with, you know, Palace my bogey team.
Yeah,
don't you?
I know you're desperate to pick them.
Right, Palace win 3-1.
3-1's Palace. Well, let's get on to the final five games, which are not in the 45, but just for our own amusement. Okay. Starting with Tottenham versus Newcastle.
Do I get £25,000 if this one's right?
You get 25 pence from me if you get these right.
So, what's your first one?
Tottenham-Newcastle.
Newcastle better pull some out of... No, actually, Tottenham better pull some out of the bag. You need Newcastle to lose, don't we? I'm going to go Tottenham...
2-0 Spurs. Leicester Man United.
I'm going to go 2-1 United.
2-1 United. The big game in Man City Arsenal.
Man City 3-1.
3-1 City. West Ham versus Liverpool.
West Ham, Liverpool. They didn't look their usual firing best last night. And West Ham are under pressure, and they always pull one out the bag. I'm going to go West Ham win, because I think this Premier League is going to open up this weekend. So I'm going to go West Ham. I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1 West Ham.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
That's music to Dom's ears, being a big man new fan.
Let's move on. I'm glad that's not in the 45, because it's not going to happen. Final one, of course, Cardiff versus Bournemouth, and we'll all chip in here.
Cardiff-Bournemouth.
Should say all the tributes, of course, home tributes for the first time to Emiliano, which should be really emotional. And
I think this would be a real difficult game for Cardiff. I think Bournemouth are going to be on cloud 10. And there's going to be a lot of emotion in that stadium. Let's sit on the fence, yeah, and let's go. I think Bournemouth have scored, so let's go 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah.
Paul?
I concur with Blakey. I think both of us think fear deep down that Cardiff will lose, but we're going to both sit on the fence, and I'm going to say 1-1 as well. And I think that will be because the crowd will really...
That's what I'm thinking,
after, after the initial, you know, after all the initial emotion and everything, it will turn, you know, I think the Cardiff fans will really rally behind the team and really raise them. And I think Cardiff may get a draw in what will be a very, very, very difficult night.
You'd be surprised, the adrenaline that the adrenaline dump you'll get from all that emotion.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought would happen in the first half against Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm going to say a big Cardiff win.
Okay.
3-1.
Let's hope your predictions are
right, Dom.
Let's say, well, thank you very much for listening. You can, of course, subscribe, rate and listen on iTunes, Acast and Wales Online. Podcast is, of course, brought to you by Giovanni's. And for all your deadline day needs, go to Wales Online and our Cardiff City channels. But from the three of us...
45.
Yep. Goodbye. Thanks for joining us.